Isaiah chapter number 30. I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read down through verse number 11. Isaiah chapter number 30. Towards the middle of your Bible there, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 30 this morning. We'll read verses number 1 through 11 responsively. I'll begin in verse number 1. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 1, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors were at Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and the old lion, the viper and fiery firing serpents. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasure upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and a note in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us, and we'll pray.
Let's pray. Father, please, I pray that you take the preaching of your word today, and though it may prick a bit hard, may we accept it as the medicine and the balm of Gilead that it should be. Lord, it will only prick hard because we've allowed the truth of this to go deeply. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have an open mind, an open heart, as we open the Word of God. Please give us clarity of thought, give us clarity of hearing, so that we hear what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am going to do something today I don't do very often, and that is this. I'm preaching part one of the sermon this morning. I'll be preaching part two this evening. You say, why? I've been working on this thing for over a month, and every time I kept working on it, I couldn't whittle it away, and it turned into two sermons, and it just all goes together. Of course, our emphasis about children and different things. So I want to help you. I long to be a voice for God in our country. I long for our church to live the way God wants us to live. And I believe if you'll listen today, some of you, like my wife and I, we don't have children at home. Praise God. I mean, but we've got grandchildren, and some are on the way, and some are, it just is what it is. But we all are around children. And I think if you listen to me today, I could help you. I'm going to warn you, it's not going to be real kind and real gentle and real tender. I'm going to cut loose and throw a fit today. Amen. We live in a very immature, sissified society. Everything is about and for the children in our world today. Now, listen to this statement very carefully here. We cater to children. And we're not teaching. Jonathan, will you calm down? Quit whining. See, a whiny baby already. He's already whining about the sermon. Now listen to me. We cater to children so much that we're not teaching anybody to be an adult. Kids grow up and all they know is how to be a child. Now we have adults who are children mentally. We have adults who are children emotionally. Because all we have done for generation after generation is teach children to be children and not children to be adults. Now these adults are the leaders of society and we're being led by children. We need adults. We don't need parents who complain that the schoolwork is too hard for little junior. We don't need people to complain that we're raising the standards of behavior in school. We're not to be lowering the standard, we're to be raising the standard. Amen. We're not to be dumbing it down, we're to be bringing them up and teaching them. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Hang on. At our church, in our church's school, I want to rear adults. I want adults who can pay their bills on time. I want them to be able to read and to write legibly. I want them to be able to go to work and not complain about having to work. We don't need grandparents rearing grandchildren making the same or worse mistakes than they made with their own kids. We need to rear adults. We now have a generation of rebellious children who are adding sin to sin. Isaiah 30 verse number 1 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." I'm not saying that children need to be working in factories at the age of 10 years old. But I surely believe that we ought to be teaching them to work in our homes. Yeah, buddy. You see, from the time a child can walk, they need to learn to work. For instance, I don't think a parent ought to be picking up all the toys and the clothes. That's if it's the kids' toys and the kids' clothes, they pick them up. You might have to put them in their hand, grab them by the hand, take them over to where it goes and put it in and teach them how to work. But bless God, I think even a child should learn if you make a mess, you pick it up. Amen. It's not the rest of the world's responsibility to pick up after you. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Hold on. A child's work is not play. A child's work or career is school, not play. Once the time they're out of infant stage or toddler stage, their play no longer is their work. It's called school work. And if they got paid for how they do their school work, no wonder we have people that can't show up to work now as adults. My dad went to a restaurant yesterday. He goes to all the time, opened it up for breakfast. They had a restaurant full of people. And the owner had to come out and say, "Folks, I got to send you home because our cook never showed up, never called." Welcome to our society today. Who would have ever thought that would have happened in America? I know this. If that would have happened about 40 years ago or 35 years ago when I was a teenager and I was the cook, I can promise you one thing, my dad would have been kicking my backside out of the house. Matter of fact, he came to the restaurants where I worked and would call the owner of the company out to the table and say, "If he doesn't work, fire him." I always hated my mom and dad going where I worked because my dad would tell the boss to fire me. Good night. It is not a time to dumb down with no truth. We need to add muscle to education. We've accepted the world's philosophy of education way too long. Do you realize that over 40% of all public school graduates cannot read at a fifth grade reading level? The dropout rate is over 25%. That means this: one out of every four students don't even graduate. I would not embarrass people in this room, but I'm sure in this room, I could probably count, it'd probably take both hands to count how many of you didn't even graduate from high school. Now, I'm not upset, but what I'm saying is, isn't it amazing that people that have never educated anybody in their life, no more than Brother Josh or me or somebody that's educated thousands of people, that taught them how to read from kindergarten and not complain that they had to read by the end of third grade? Everybody doing all right? Now hang on, we're going somewhere. If you're mad now, you're going to kill somebody in a minute. Verse number 7 says, at the very end, their strength is to sit still. We now have children with strong backsides and strong thumbs because all they do is sit there and do nothing with their life. They don't know how to wear out bicycle tires. They don't know what it means to wear out a pair of tennis shoes. Good night. My tennis shoes never fit because my feet always went through them because we wore them slap out, you know. I find out what black electrical tape and duct tape can do to a shoe. Amen. Go run and you hear your shoe going pop, 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 and trip over it, get up and do it again. God often uses Egypt as the center of worldliness in reference to Scripture. Often when Egypt is referred to, it's in reference to the worldly, philosophical and the worldly ways, the headquarters of that. Notice how God uses it here. Look at verse number 2. They walk and go down into Egypt, the world, and have not asked at my mouth, that's God's mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. In other words, let's get our strength from the government and the world and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Oh, we won't go all the way in, but we're going to trust in its shadow, the comfort. Verse number 3, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. Look how the churches of today are more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. Verse number 7 talks about Egypt. Verse number 8, verse number 9, verse number 10 talks about these different things of Egypt. Now look at me if you will. God does not want our children as Christians going to or being led by the world's philosophies or the world's standards. I'm not upset if you have children that are in the public schools. Don't get me wrong. We started Grace Baptist Church School for a certain purpose. And I'm for you putting your children wherever you want them. But I'm going to tell you this, our school is not going to be like the public schools that you went to when you were kids. And you better be thankful for that. I happen to know where those philosophies lead, and they're running our country these days. Don't get upset that it's different than what you're used to. It ought to be different. That means it's going a right direction, not the direction you came from. Everybody doing all right? Now, I'm fixing to come unscrewed here for a second. Sunday school is going to be the same way. Sunday school isn't supposed to be an entertainment time. It's to teach and to train. It's to get children to learn the word of God and the principles of the word of God so they'll obey mom and dad and obey God and obey their teachers and obey their government when they're supposed to the right way. We start, when we start judging the church and the school by the world standards, especially in front of our children, we will raise rebels. Parents, do yourself a favor. Don't criticize the church or the school in front of your kids. If you have something negative to say to your spouse, say it in private. Don't say it in front of your kids, because you're destroying your own leadership and you're destroying the leadership around them, and you're going to create rebellion. I promise you. I talk to kids who go through Christian schools and have for decades. Well, it's one way at home, preacher, and another way at church and school. And when they leave the Christian school, they leave the church because they're tired of the rebellion of their parents that has been driven into them, and they rebel against God. Everybody doing all right? Don't express your opposition in front of your children. My three kids can tell you this. They didn't know till they were adults that there was things in their educational career that I disagreed with their teachers on. I remember going to see a teacher and a principal, and my kids never knew I was there. I didn't agree with one of their teachers. Guess what? That child still doesn't know I went to see their teacher. Say, which one was it? None of your business. Nah, 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 nah. Now listen to me. Children are very important. But children are sinners too. Especially you. Children are not perfectly innocent, naturally good. Matter of fact, let me read some verses to you out of Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 4. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I thought it was in Isaiah. It was in Song of Solomon. Something wasn't right. Good thing I didn't read any farther. Here it is. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Children that are corruptors. Now, we need to quit wanting everything perfect for our children. They don't have perfect parents. Guess what? Nothing will be perfect. There is going to be nothing perfect in your children's life except the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to read the statement that I wrote several weeks ago. Now, be sensitive here. We need to quit wanting everything perfect for our children and teach them how to be adults. Not how to be selfish liars, always getting what they want. They need to learn that life is more suck it up, buttercup, than things are going to turn out the way you want it to. Amen. I hate to disappoint you. If you're over the age of 20, nothing in your life has turned out the way you planned. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know all those plans you had as a kid? Yeah, suck it up, buttercup. Here it comes. In America, and I'm afraid and in most churches, we've let everything be about the children. These children are not totally in leadership positions today, but have been raised to be adults who think like children. And they are now influencing America as children. Isaiah chapter 3, now that I'm in the book of Isaiah, let me read verses 4 through 9. I'm reading verses from the Bible to show you what God said, not what I say. Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Fellas, that's not talking about your wife either. Talking about babies. Isn't it amazing how an infant can rule a family? And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another. Sound like today? and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Look how young people treat older people in America today. When a man shall take hold of his brother and of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler. Oh, man, you got cool clothes. How about you lead our group? You got cool shoes. I got to have shoes, or I got to have clothes like this person, Mom. The person with the clothing that is the style of the day becomes the leader. Sound like America today? Let this ruin be under thy hand. In the day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not the ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue, their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. They show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. If this is not a picture of America today, I don't know what is. The public schools are by the droves infiltrating sodomy into the curricula of our children, teaching them that it's that you can love anybody, and if you only love somebody of the opposite gender, then you're wrong. We need adults. We need adults that aren't afraid to teach 2 + 2 = 4, and if you put 5 down, wrong answer, fix it. Everybody doing all right? Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'd rather hurt their feelings and them be right than coddle their feelings and them be wrong the rest of their life. Amen. We are teaching children to where they stay children as adults. We don't need children as adults. We need adults as adults. Amen. Hang on. America has trained generation after generation of children to be adults. If they can't play their video games every night for hours, then they cry and don't go to work the next day so they can play. If a boss actually expects you to work and produce, then we find another job because we don't want to be an adult. I read an article 2 weeks ago from a kid, 18 years old, got a job and got mad because the boss told him to go out and pick up paper out of the parking lot. And he said, I am not going to do that. Well, bless God, he never had a daddy like mine. Before I ever got my first job, my dad said, don't you ever lean. If you have time to lean, you have time to clean. Amen. Pick up a broom, start sweeping. Amen. Pick up a rag and start wiping. You better do something. But if I find out you're staying there doing nothing, I'm going to tell the boss to fire you. And he did. Now, let's look at this from a biblical point of view, not your own personal point of view. God sees things better and more clearly than we do. By the way, he sees it more clearly than I do. But I'm here to tell you, if you use the same formula or you use the same recipe, you're going to get the same product. I don't care what names you put in there. I don't care what you think you've changed. If you use the same thing over and over, you're going to get the same result. That's right. America changed formula and kicked God out of the schools 50 years ago. And look at where we are today. We need to get back to the original recipe. Amen. The original laws. We don't need another amendment. We need to go back and live the Constitution as it was written. We don't need new immigration laws. We need to apply the laws that we already have. Isn't it amazing that these fat cat Democrats are for open borders till Governor DeSantis sends a plane full of them up to Martha's Vineyard where they're all at? Isn't it amazing how the mayor of D.C. thinks it's wonderful till they all show up at the vice president's house? Then we don't know what to do with them all. We need to fix the formula and revise it and get it back to the way God wanted it, not the way we have it today. So, number one, are you ready? Aren't you glad this is two parts? Because you couldn't handle it all in one. Brother Larry, it's like those ghost chilies, those dried ghost chili concoction that you have, man. It's too hot to handle, amen? Number one, rebellion is a result. It's a byproduct. It's not an ingredient. Look at verse number one, Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children. Rebellion is not an ingredient. It is a byproduct of other ingredients. Rebellion is a mixture of more than one thing. You don't wake up one day and become rebellious. Rebellion is a result of specific actions. Rebellion is a process. It is not a single action. Rebellion is not a one-time thing and you have it the rest of your life. It is a process that builds over a period of time. And notice what God says here, rebellious children. Have you ever gone to the grocery store or Walmart and ever wanted to slap somebody else's kid? My mama would say, she'd say, I'd like to take my shoe off and beat that child. I'm thinking, poor kid, I've been beat by that shoe. Rebellion is a process. It's not a single action. Rebellion is a lifestyle gained by not obeying all authority. Rebellion is a choice. It's not forced upon any. But listen to this statement. But rebellion can have an appetite created by bad leadership. We can teach our children to be rebellious even though we're sincere. When we start criticizing authority to our children, we criticize their mother, we criticize their father, we criticize their teachers, we criticize their leaders, and we criticize all the leadership around them. We have created in them an appetite to not obey the authorities that we just criticized. It doesn't mean that you're teaching them to be rebellious, but you're creating an appetite for rebellion. Stupid microphone. It's rebellious. It can be by evil attacking the simple and unknowing and teaching them to rebel. You don't wake up rebellious one morning. It is a process of decisions and actions that lead up to being rebellious. Why is it that when a young person reaches 12, 13, 14... we call that a rebellious age? Because for the previous 10, 11, 12 years, we have allowed them to do things that lead them to that. My rebellious stage didn't last very long. You say, why? You didn't know my mom and dad. I remember one time my dad said, well, they told us in school if we're having troubles, we could call this number and get out of the home. My dad said, you want the phone or you let me call? He said, but once you leave, you ain't coming back. Give me the phone. Give me the number. I'll call them. They can come get you. Just know you're not coming back. My brother didn't give him the number. It backfired. And it fired on his backside, too. Rebellion is, it took care of all the rebellion really quick, I promise you. You know, there was, my mom had a five-word statement. It cured all rebellion. Wait till your dad gets home. That's all it took. But by the way, when my dad got home, he did find out. Didn't matter how good we were to mom before then. Because my mom and dad didn't let us play them against each other. Amen. It wasn't, well, I'll give you another chance and another chance and another chance. No, that's creating an appetite for rebellion. Do you want to know why some of you get mad at the police officer that stops you for speeding? Yeah. Because you expect to be let go. Well, I was only doing 5 over. It doesn't matter if you're doing 1 over. Well, they're supposed to give me, you're rebelling against the authority. And if you tell your children, in front of your children, well, stupid officer, you shouldn't stop me. I was only doing 5 over. You just created a desire for rebellion in your children. By the way, you've hurt your respect with your children. So, rebellion is a result, a byproduct. It is not an ingredient. It is a process of many bad decisions and many bad actions built up over a period of time. Number two, these rebellious children had a habit of lying. Ouch. Look at verse number 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear, hang on here, the law of the Lord, which say to seers, see not. The word seer there means preacher. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. May I read a verse out of Psalm 58 to you? Let me tell you what God says. I know your little child is beautiful, innocent, and perfect as the white-driven snow. But Psalm 58, verse number 3 says this. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Did you know you don't have to teach a child to lie? They do it naturally. Did you know that every child lies? Some of us grow up and quit trying to do it. Others become news reporters or politicians. Ouch. Now, wait a minute. May I just say here, God says that we come forth from the womb speaking lies. You wait till 2 o'clock in the morning and that thing's screaming. It's been fed. It doesn't have a white or oiled diaper. Everything's fine. It just wants attention. You think it's dying. Amazing how big that voice box is on such a little package. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Did you know you don't have to tell a child how to lie? I won't tell you which of my children. It just happened to be my oldest. But my mom and dad were visiting us one day, and the only other person in the house that was a child had just been born. Can't move on its own. And one comes out of the room saying, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Okay, I know it wasn't me. Isn't it y'all been through that, haven't you? It wasn't me. You don't have to teach a child to lie. They do it innately. That is the sin that is born into us. Do you know who the easiest person in the world to lie to is? Yourself. It's easy to lie to yourself. That's why man thinks he can earn his way to heaven on his own. We're lying to ourselves. All children are liars. They don't need taught how to lie. It's when we don't fix these lyings, if it's when we don't fix their deceit, well, I didn't lie, I just didn't tell you everything. That's a lie. That's when we are beginning the stages of rebellion. When they're allowed to continue in the lie. You ever wanted to watch my dad cloud up in rain? Tell him a lie. Lord have mercy. My dad was not abusive. But I remember lying one time. I hated cooked peas. I hate those things. It's like you squeezed a rabbit and it turned green. I hate those things. I can't, to this day, I can't taste for the last 2 years. But I still can't eat a cooked pea. I can eat them raw all day long, but don't cook them things. Just smash them up. No. Anything that looks like a baby diaper ought not be going down the hatch, you know? Green and runny. No. And when I was growing up, you had to eat whatever was on your plate. You didn't get up to do anything till it was gone. Man, I ate everything but those peas, Brother Mike. Mom was gone. Dad was gone. Brother's out doing something. I looked both ways. I knew they would look in the trash can. So I lifted the cushion on the kitchen chair and put it under there and put the cushion back down and thought, after they check the trash, I'll come back and do this. Well, at 6 or 7, 8 years old, I had a little ADD, I think, because I forgot. And about 2 days later, I came home. And my mom didn't say nothing. But when my dad got home, I heard those three dreaded words. Craig Eugene Bush. Okay. There's no sense in even saying what. It's what for this time. And I went to where the voice was crying in the kitchen. And my dad said, yeah, the night we had peas. Did you eat them all? Wrong answer. My dad lifted up the cushion on my chair. He said, nobody else has sat in that chair but you. You want to tell me your brother did this? I'd like to. You want to tell me your mother did this? I don't care who did it other than me. Oh, my soul, we had a powwow. My daddy made me drop my britches, drop my drawers, put my head up against the refrigerator, bent over, and he lit a fire in my soul. You say, that's cruel. I never hid peas under the kitchen cushions ever again. I learned how to swallow them puppies whole. As nasty as they were. I haven't eaten cooked peas in 35 years that I've been away from my house. Ain't doing it. I still hate them. I took a whooping for them things. Can I tell you something? My dad didn't give it to me because I hid the peas. He did it because I lied to him. I got one for hiding them. I got about four for lying to him. Ooh, trust me. The one for doing it wasn't as bad as the next four. Say why? He wanted me to be able to tell the truth. God calls lying an abomination. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Don't turn there. The Bible says, these six things that the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. First thing, a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. Doesn't matter whether it's an adult or a child, God hates it. Isaiah chapter 31, verse number 10 says, verse number 9, lying children. By the way, Verse number 10 says they don't want preachers, seers, to tell them the truth. They want somebody to coddle their feelings. They want a Joel Holstein and not a leather long hell fire damnation preacher. You know, there was a day when even Methodists preached the way I preach today. There was a day when most preachers would preach the way I'm preaching right now. Now, they'd kick me out of just about every other church. That's just not nice. You have a mean spirit. Well, you can call it whatever you want, but I've been working for 42 years of preaching to get what I got, and I'm not about to change. You see, they don't want to feel bad about their sin. Not too many months ago, we had somebody visit our church, and I went to visit them, Brother Bob. When I got to their house, the lady was a little bit chilly, abrupt. And I said, "Do you have any questions?" They said, "Do you preach like that all the time?" I said, "No, sometimes I really get with it and preach hard." They said, "You mean that wasn't hard?" I said, "Oh no, that was one of my calmer ones." They said, "Well, we won't be attending anymore. You're quite rough and quite rude." Oh, oh, oh. I said, "I'm not going to apologize for it." I said, "What was so rough and so rude?" "Well, we just don't think that you ought to preach about those kinds of sins that way." And I said, "Well, if you'll read your Bible, I was nicer than God." I said, "God calls people like you whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Vipers, snakes." I said, "I didn't call you that. God did." Oh, I wasn't there very much longer after that. Say, "Preacher, that's all I did was quote the Bible. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I just got to preach it." Did you know that Satan is the father of all lies? John chapter 8, verse number 44 says, "You are of your father, the devil, and he is the father of all lies." When we lie, we are following our earthly father, the devil. Our unsaved father, the devil. When we get saved, we get a new father, but we still have a stepdad. We didn't get rid of him. Proverbs 19, number 5 says we need to punish lying, not laugh at it or ignore it. Amen. It's not cute when a child lies.
No, it's not.
Don't laugh at him. Shall I read what God says in Proverbs chapter 19 to you? And grandparents especially, don't laugh at their lying to you. Now you might go aside later and laugh. Just don't let them see you. "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." In other words, a false witness, somebody that speaks lies, should not go unpunished. According to Proverbs 19, verse number 9, it kills people. Lying kills people. Listen to me very carefully here. We have lied to children by allowing public education to take truth away. We entertain children with non-real, virtual, Hollywood, internet things that lie to them. We have changed science to a lie. Evolution is a lie. It's not science. But they believe it's truth. And we've lied to our children, breeding a rebellious generation. We have trained them to be liars without them even knowing they're lying, because we've taken all truth away. So these rebellious children have a habit of lying. Number 2, these rebellious children are lazy. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 7, the last part of it says, "Their strength is to sit still." We are rearing children that are too lazy to even play outside. Hey, fellas, if you grew up in the northern part of the country here, how many of you remember going out when it's 15, 20 degrees and shoveling snow in the backyard, making yard line markers and playing football in the snow? Yeah, bashing your head against things and getting bloodied up and busted up. Yeah, or mud. Bless God. Now, if it gets below 50 degrees, they want to cancel school because the kids might get chilly waiting on the bus. I remember going to school at 20 below zero, standing at the bus stop, and no parents had their cars lined up watching to see that we got on the bus. Folks, let them grow up.
Amen.
I rode my bike my whole life and never had arm pads, shoulder pads, knee pads, and a helmet. If one of my friends showed up like that, we'd have ripped him off and beat the tar out of him. We'd have said, "Your mama's trying to make you a sissy." Everybody doing all right? I'll just tell you what it's like. An infant and toddler's play is work. After that, children need taught to work and responsibility. A child's school is to be their work. They ought to earn their living by their grades.
Amen.
Don't get mad because the schoolwork is hard. You ought to be happy. A child should have duties at home to learn how to work. And by the way, you ought not do it for them. My wife would teach my children to do their own laundry. By the time they were teenagers, they did most of their own laundry. You say, why? Because I wanted to teach them to be an adult. Well, Mom, did you wash this? No, it's your responsibility. But I need that. Well, find something else. Or wash it real quick. Or go with it smelling like you. My wife didn't say, well, I'll fix it. No, you do it. Your responsibility. Say, well, that's mean. That's why all my children, when they went to college, knew how to do their own laundry. That's why they can still do their own laundry. That's why they have the ability to do. And by the way, I can. I don't choose to. But I can iron my own shirts. I help my wife. Now, hang on for a second here. Man is naturally lazy because sin says I can decide for myself if I want to do this or not. Now we're going to get where the rubber meets the road. Hang on, listen to me very carefully here. Man wants to be his own God. He wants to decide what he wants to do. The Bible talks about a liar being kin to a great waster. Proverbs 18 verse 19 says this, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle," and that's not the right verse. "He that is also slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." Proverbs 18 verse number 9, not 19. Can't write my own verses down right. We let our children waste too much. When I was growing up, you didn't waste your food. If you took it, you ate it, whether you liked it or not. We weren't allowed to waste it. We weren't allowed to destroy our toys. If we did, they didn't get replaced. Now, I remember playing with Army men, Brother Mike, and finding some old firecrackers and having bombs blow up, watching green army men go everywhere. But we didn't destroy our toys. We took care of them. Because if they broke, Mom and Dad didn't replace them. You want more? Pay for them yourself. How am I going to do that? Work, find a job. We let our children destroy everything and go buy them more stuff. Maybe if they took care of it and learned how to fix it, they wouldn't destroy it as much. Or if they had to wait 2 years to get it, they wouldn't destroy it the first week they got it. I remember one Christmas I got a bike. I grew up in Ohio, Northeast Ohio. Snow, lots of snow. I remember about my dad would get off work at 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. I forget when. Man, I'd been in bed slobbering on my pillow for a while. Next thing I know, my dad flips the light on and shakes me. He said, "You didn't put your bike up." "I didn't." He said, "No, get dressed." "What? You're going to go put your bike up. I bought you a brand new bike for Christmas. You're not going to leave it out in the snow." We had probably 18 inches of snow on the ground. I'd been riding my bike. He said, "In the snow?" "Yeah, in the snow." I left that thing out in the middle of the snow. I had to get up, get clothes on. I couldn't go out in my pajamas. Get dressed. Go out there, 10 below zero, colder than a frozen well digger. Clean my bike, and it wasn't just pick it up and put it in the garage, clean it off. Then when I came back in the house, he said, "You don't get to ride it till spring." Ooh. Then I had to go back to my room, take my clothes off, put my pajamas back on, and get back in bed. Say why? He wasn't going to raise a lazy kid. After I graduated from high school, went to college, I came back one fall, and my dad rented a log splitter. I said, "Dad, when they come out with these?" He said, "They've had them for years." I said, "How come you never rented one tonight?" He said, "Because I fed two log splitters." I thought, stink. Where's this thing been my whole life? You see, man is naturally lazy, and sin says I can decide for myself what I want and what I don't want. God says we're supposed to punish laziness. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 24. Hang on. Let me read what God says. "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Get away, Dad. I don't want to do it. Oh yeah, that wouldn't have been said more than once in my house. By the way, we're not supposed to give money to people that won't work. Proverbs 21:25 says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hand refuseth to labor." Brother Mike, you mentioned this in Sunday school. I'll say it again right here. The people that stand on the side of the road will work for food. Drive them over to where it says hiring and find out how much they don't want to work. I'm for helping people that need help, but let me tell you something. They ought not be standing on the street corner begging for money. They ought to be going begging for a job. God says, "You sleep when the work's done, not when you're tired." Proverbs 26:13 says this, "The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets, as a door turneth upon the hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful findeth his hand in his bosom, and it grieveth him to bring it to his mouth again. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men can render a reason." Wow. My alarm went off at 4:30 this morning, which it rarely ever does, probably the first time in a year. I really didn't want to get out of bed this morning. I was tired. Oh, guess what? I got up anyway. I don't play the snooze button. Say why? My dad didn't know there was such a thing as a snooze button. He stood at the bottom of the steps and hollered your name. If he didn't hear feet hitting the floor soon, if you heard feet coming up the steps, it was too late. You were going to get wakened up abruptly, harshly. We had to have things picked up. We had to have our bed made before we ate breakfast. You don't work, you don't eat, 2 Timothy says. You see, we let our kids sleep too much. We let them play too much. We need to teach them to work. We need to teach them to be adults. I'm done. Hang on. Rebellion can only be solved by submission to God and authority. Isn't that what salvation is? Romans chapter 10, verse number 2 says, they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh. Salvation is the absence of rebellion. Earning your own salvation is the utmost of rebellion. When you say, I'm good enough, I can earn my way, I can be righteous enough on my own to get to heaven. I'll let my good outweigh the bad. I'll let church tradition, I'll let my goodness do it. God says, no, you'll die and go to hell because you're going about to establish your own righteousness. And you don't get saved by that. You have to come to a point where you realize you're a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you deserve hell like every other sinner. And that Jesus came and paid your sin debt. He lived and bought your righteousness, and you submit yourself to the righteousness of God. You don't get saved by your own goodness. That's rebellion to God. How about we submit to the righteousness of Christ? How about we quit lying to ourselves that we're good enough to get there on our own? How about we quit creating rebellion in the hearts and in the minds of children? We teach them the truth. We don't criticize authority. Well, I don't agree with the preacher on that. That's a dangerous thing to say in front of your kids. If you don't agree with the preacher, come talk to the preacher, but don't say it in front of your kids. Take my advice. You can disagree with me all you want, but don't tell your kids because you're creating rebellion in them. Maybe we just ought to obey and find out what God can do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We need adults. We need adults that are willing to stand for the truth, whether we like the truth or not. We need people who are willing to get saved by submission. Submission to the word of God, not submission to self. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I won't do anything to you that I did not do to the ones that just raised their hand. But who would say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, there's something in that sermon I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you come. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you've never been baptized, we can take care of that today. If you'd like to join our church, you come at this time. Maybe if you just raise your hand and say, God's touched my heart, how about you come to an old-fashioned altar and submit and yield to God for our children's sake?